content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. So, if you happen to have your 13-year-old listening in...
That's your problem.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in, and welcome to Spiritually Raw, where you can find us here on BBS Radio every Monday and Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you very much. Spiritually Raw wants you to be a featured guest, and if you'd like to be heard on more than over 100 of the world's largest live broadcasting stations, live radio streaming in over 36 countries, and some of the most trafficked social media networks and the largest podcast portals on the planet, all you have to do is text the word guest to 91096, and you'll receive a link to our guest questionnaire and also a free copy of our Secrets to Interview Riches, or go to spirituallyraw.com. You're welcome. Thank you very much. Oh, we got another jam-packed show today. So, April, let's hear all about it.
All right. Up today, we have Lynn James Everett, and he grew up at home with his alcoholic and abusive father and spent most of his life believing that in order to be safe, he needed to be perfect, silent, and invisible. Lynn is a product of incest, and as the secret his family dared not to tell, Lynn Everett spent most of his life unable to speak his own truth. Yet, often the painful events put his life on a collision course with awakening to his own gifts, finding the power to live a life sourced in his own truth, and realize his destiny is help others do the same. At the age of 64, he learned how to speak his truth, and he now teaches others how to do it. Lynn Everett is an author, coach, speaker, life coach, and literary producer. He is the author of How Speaking Your Truth Could Save Your Life and How It Saved Mine.
Ah, right on. Let's welcome Lynn to the show. Hello, Lynn. How are you, Lynn?
I am good. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome. So, okay, so growing up in an alcoholic home, abusive father, I mean, that's just a lot in itself to, you know, unpack right there. So, you know, was your father the abuser?
Yes. He sexually abused at least three of my four sisters. He got the youngest one pregnant. She gave birth to a son, and that's me.
Okay, so let's just kind of go back there. So your father molested your sister who had a child, and that child is you?
Yeah, so I grew up in that home. Basically, she was not allowed to raise me, so my grandmother legally adopted me, and for most of my early life, I believed that she was my mother.
Wait a second. Was your dad married at this point?
Yes. So my dad was married to the person I thought was my mother, who turned out to be my grandmother.
Did you just say your dad was married to your grandmother, but you thought it was your mother?
Yes, because my dad sexually abused my sister, got her pregnant. So my sister was my grandmother's daughter.
Sister was your grandmother's daughter. Okay, so now your grandmother, was it your dad's mother?
Right, that's what I was going to say.
No, but my grandmother was my dad's wife.
Okay.
So she was technically my grandmother. I thought she was my mother because my dad and grandmother.
Oh, right, because your sister. Right, so it would be your grandmother.
Oh, yeah, I got her. Okay.
Wow. So how old was your sister when this took place?
She was probably 16 when she gave birth to me.
And then how did your mother, grandmother, did she just was let it roll? Like, was it, you know?
Yeah, she was never in a position to take care of herself.
Oh.
She herself lived in an orphanage for a number of years.
Oh.
And so she was already in a situation where she came up to upstate New York from New York City, met my father, and of course, you know, the rest is history, but it was a very difficult life for her, and she had no power in the relationship whatsoever.
Yeah, for sure. So did your siblings know the truth?
Yes, but it was kept from me.
So your siblings are technically your aunts and uncle, right?
It depends upon which perspective you look at
it. It's both. Right? It could be either one.
Right. It could be either one.
So your sister who gave birth to you, is she still in the picture in any part of your relationship at all?
No, she passed away 7 years ago.
I'm sorry. And how did that happen? Like, how did she pass?
She was in her late 70s at the time. She had diabetes, and, you know, that ultimately ended up being the thing that took her life. And, you know, the struggle for me was that most of my life, I did not know for sure that she was my mom. And then once I found out, I actually only had one brief phone conversation with her son to mother.
How did you find out?
It was a long, slow process. The 3 days after my father died when I was 13, my grandmother, who I thought was my mother, died when I was 18. 3 days after my grandmother passed away, a neighbor walked up to me and said, "I'm so sorry to hear about your grandmother." Well, I didn't have a grandmother as far as I knew. I only had a mom.
Yeah.
And so that set the wheels turning. And then I went and asked the older brother I was staying with at the time, and he looked at me. His eyes got big. His face turned beet red, and he said, "We do not talk about that in this family."
Wow. So all those years, they kept it under the rug.
Yes.
So when you – and I know there's so much to talk about here with you, but when you actually when you found out that your sister, mother, or mother, sister, they were the both one and the same there, at how old were you?
I was probably close to 50 when I found out.
And then when you did find out when you were close to 50, so what was the tone of your relationship then?
Well, it was just, I believed my whole life that she was my sister up until that point. And, well, I shouldn't say, I knew that one of my sisters was most likely my mother. Somehow I just had the intuition to suspect that, but I didn't know which one. I didn't have any proof of it. I had an older brother and his wife who basically were intermediaries in the process for me. And once I knew, they went to my mom and they said, "You know, would you be open to Lynn having a conversation with you on the phone?" And she said, yes.
And then how did that go? Like, where did it go from there? What's that?
Well, it didn't go anywhere. Really, I mean, she already, you know, she was married. She had 7 kids of her own at that point. And it was just really, really would have been very difficult to kind of bring me in after so many years.
Yeah. And then do you think your brother has these tendencies? Is it going generationally down?
Yes. Yeah. The brother that, actually told me that we don't talk about that. I found out later that he was up to the same thing, or most likely up to the same thing.
Wow.
So it was like protecting, you know.
So how do you cope still with this? Or have you forgiven this?
Well, I've forgiven it. It's funny. A year ago, I finally forgave my father after he'd been dead for 50 years.
Hmm.
And I spent much of my life not wanting to be him. You know, most people grow up knowing what they want to be. I just knew what I didn't want to be. I didn't want to be him.
And were you, so did he also abuse you, you said earlier?
He didn't. But he was a strict disciplinarian, and I never really felt like I got his approval.
Oh.
So one of the things I talk about in my book is that I went to a small Catholic school in the small town I was in, and every year I was the top student in grades 1 through 8. The only year I wasn't was when I was in third grade, and I didn't get along well with the teacher, so I think that was part of it. But at the end of the year, they would have this ceremony to give out what they called the prizes. And so I'd always won first prize, but that year I didn't. But for some reason, I decided to go to the ceremony anyway. And I'll just condense this for you, but on the way home, stopped at a friend's house, got a drink of water, and then proceeded to leave his apartment and fall down 2 flights of stairs.
Wow.
And broke my 4 places, and then walked back home up the street walked in and my father had to take me to the hospital. So I got the attention anyway, even though I'd gotten it from winning the award in all the other years. That year, I got it for breaking my wrist.
Oh, wow. Okay, listen, hang tight. We got to take a quick break. A word from our sponsor. We'll be right back here, more with Lynn, and we're going to find out what toxic masculinity means. Do you have a hard time sharing your thoughts, opinions, feelings, and emotions with those closest to you or expressing your needs in your romantic relationships? Would you like to create openness and honesty in your closest relationships?
Lynn Everard is a life coach and expert in teaching people how to speak their truth. He is the author of How Speaking Your Truth Could Save Your Life and How It Saved Mine.
It's time to speak your own truth. Connect with Lynn Everard at www.lynneverard.com or email at leverard@lynneverard.com. That's leverard@lynneverard.com.
Live stutter-free in only 3 days, 100% guaranteed.
Do you feel that your speech gets blocked sometimes? Have you tried methods that promise the solutions to only find out that you wasted your time, money, and your hope?
Connect with Anna Dieter, Edelon Unblocking Master, speech educator, and international author. Whether you call yourself a person who stutters or not, Anna Dieter has a guaranteed solution for you.
Instantly solve any of your speech problems or public speaking fears with Edelon Speech Unblocking. You'll finally say anything you want, anywhere, anytime, with clarity and confidence. Over 10,000 students worldwide live stutter-free, and so will you.
Overcome your individual speech difficulties in just 3 days. Go to www.livestutterfree.org. Again, that's www.livestutterfree.org.
All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very much. So, Lynn, you know, how did you get the courage to really go about telling the story? I mean, this is, you know, this is not an everyday, like, you know, well, everybody in the street has one of these kind of things.
I went through a divorce in 2013, and I said the thing that many people say, that there's got to be more to life than this, and some friends of mine introduced me to some books like Wayne Dyer and others. And I started reading, and eventually I hired a life coach. And then I've had other types of coaches, people that have helped me in all kinds of different ways. Really the longest chapter in the book is my healing journey, which is still ongoing. But as I went through more and more and began to understand and unravel the whole mystery that was me, I realized that I was simply afraid of speaking my truth, and I didn't want to live that way anymore, because as a child, I believe that's what it took to be safe. And then even in my marriage, I couldn't speak up. And, you know, there's four layers of truth, and the fourth layer is the one I focus on with people, because it's the one that causes the most problems, and that's the layer of our thoughts, opinions, feelings, and emotions. And in relationships, the needs area comes in as well.
When you were in your marriage, when you said you couldn't speak up then, were you suppressed to speak up? What was holding you back? Was it your spouse at that time?
Every time I looked at her, and she's a wonderful woman, we're actually friends today. We have a better relationship now than we did when we were married. But because I hadn't done any work on all of this, but every time I looked at her and felt like I needed to say something, it's like I saw my father. Mm. And then I couldn't say anything.
Do you think that your story is as uncommon as, you know, the shock of when we just heard it? Or do you think it's more prevalent? Do you think that there's more situations like yourself really out there? It's just unheard, you know, unspoken.
I think that there's a lot of it. There's a lot more than people might think. One of the honors that I was given after my book came out in September was that my hometown invited me to come back and speak to the community.
Aww.
And it was really a special moment. About 60 of the people in the community came out, and the community is only about 1,000 people. Hmm. So that was a pretty big turnout. And, you know, I talked about the book. I answered questions. people showed up, but I hadn't seen any years, and it was just a beautiful experience.
That is really nice.
Has something, but you know, one of the things I find is that wherever I go to speak, and one of the reasons I want to do more speaking, is there's always somebody who comes up to me afterwards and tells me their story of abuse.
Wow. All right. Well, listen, well, tell us a little bit about what this, or a lot of it, if we need to be. What does toxic masculinity mean?
Toxic masculinity is really a subconscious, what I believe is a subconscious fear of the feminine aspect that exists in all of us, men and women. And the toxic masculinity comes when the man is questioning his own masculinity in the presence of the feminine. And, you know, as men, we generally attack what we don't understand because we fear it. And we would rather attack it than be attacked by it. And so I think that's really what's created a lot of the challenges in our world. The Me Too movement, I think the victimization is a direct result of toxic masculinity, where men have simply acted out of what they didn't know and didn't understand, but feared at the same time. And so I think our world is in a place now where we're going to get to start the process of healing that.
So what can you say to help people or someone that's listening and they're in dire straits right now because they are resonating with your message? How can you get someone who's been frozen and unable to speak for probably, if not all, you know, a huge part of their life, if not all of their life, what can you say to help them to be able to start speaking and to speak their truth, to let it out?
I think that the first step is for them to go inside and understand who they really are and work to love that, to allow it, to accept it, to recognize that nobody's perfect and they don't have to be perfect, and that their truth is important. I teach people in this program I'm launching something I call the Ten Commandments of Speaking Your Truth, because speaking our truth is never to be done in anger. It's never to be done out of bitterness or rage or to blame someone or to get back at them, you know, revenge or retribution. None of that. Speaking our truth is done from the heart. It's done in peace. It's done in calm. And it takes a real understanding of what the situation is. So that's what I teach people. I teach people how to speak their truth, but I also teach them the context, how to establish the context in which to speak their truth so that it's safe.
Do you have any relationship with any of your siblings now?
I do. I have an older sister that I'm still in contact with, and she was actually very proud of me when the book came out. My mom had a friend for many, many years, and she reached out to me to tell me that my mom would have been proud of me. This lady was like my mom's best friend.
Aww.
And so that was a very welcome message. And some of my cousins and other people have been reaching out to me. I've been connecting with more and more of them all the time. And so, yeah, it's coming back. And not everybody knew. Some people knew, but a lot didn't.
Mm-hmm. Hold that thought, Lynn. We're going to take a quick little break, and we will be right back.
Bring the wisdom and knowledge of William Michael Forbes and his spiritual team into your everyday life with one of the three mediumship courses designed around spiritual enlightenment. There is always someone with us, waiting for us to ask questions and for us to open up our ears and eyes to receive the much-needed guidance and support that this world cannot always provide. Take the journey with William Michael Forbes and explore further for what your eyes see and your ears hear are but a tiny part of the great and the wonderful mystery of your being. Visit www.williammichaelforbes.com for more information on how to connect with William and embark upon the journey of deliberately connecting with your guides, angels, and other ascended beings. open the door at www.williammichaelforbes.com. That's www.williammichaelforbes.com. www.williammichaelforbes.com. Happy endings and a new beginning with author and motivational speaker Michael J. Black. Michael is the star of his own true and heartbreaking drama. Michael shares his journey through snippets of his life, crushing moments that should have taken his life, and spirit-filled moments in his talks with God. Michael shares how his faith kept coming back to him, ultimately allowing him to rise above like a phoenix and charge forward with amazing intensity. There are no regrets for Michael, as the darker the night, the lighter the daybreak is. Order your copy of Michael J. Black's book, Happy Endings and a New Beginning, available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. Michael's story is one of defeat and victory. Michael J. Black is living proof that higher power and prayer changes everything. Pick up your copy of Happy Endings and a New Beginning today, again at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. That's Michael J. Black, author of Happy Endings and a New Beginning, available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com. All right, everybody, and welcome back to Spiritually Raw. Thank you very, very much. So, Lynn, can you tell us, you know, what do you believe is the real cause between a lot of male violence out there against women and transgender people?
I believe that it is a underlying subconscious belief, or actually it's a fear. Again, I believe that we fear what we don't know. I think a lot of men who were used to a world where men were in control, even though we didn't necessarily know what we were in control of or how to be in control of it. I think there are a lot of men who fear what they don't know. I think some men fear that the feminine aspect of themselves will make them gay, as if there was something wrong with that. And so we're just dealing with a lot of old energy, a lot of old paradigms that need to get shifted. And I believe that as women step away from the masculinity that they've had to employ in order to survive in a man's world and embrace the power of their own femininity, and then men will begin to see the femininity in a new way, and they will begin to open up and become more open to the idea that they have a feminine aspect within themselves. Okay. And so I really believe that femininity in its truest, richest form is really what is going to move the planet forward.
Okay. So what's your thoughts on, do you think that something you had this experiences in your life because it may be something from a past life, or do you think that it's just a crappy situation that has been brought down throughout the lineage and along your father's family bloodline?
I think it could be both. I think there were things in, so I believe that in many of my lifetimes I've been a shaman or a priest. I almost became a priest in this lifetime. I almost became a Baptist minister in this lifetime. So there's definitely that area. But I know that I'm here to, in healing myself, I am helping to heal the lineage. One of the reasons that I started the exploration to find out who I was in a very serious way was after I got married, we were starting to think about having a family. And I was just really concerned about what was in my DNA. And I wanted to find out who my father really was.
Yeah.
Because it could have been somebody else. I actually thought it was somebody different, and so I needed to know for sure. So it was very important to me to break the cycle of the abuse, which I was able to do. I have a son and a daughter, both in their 20s. And
when did they find out?
They found out at some point, maybe within the last 10 years, I was able to share it with them. I'll tell you a story about my son. There were some things, he suffered from depression at times. He's 29, lives out on the West Coast. And he was one of the first people to read my book, which I was really pleased about. And he shared with me that in reading the book, it actually gave him the courage to admit something to himself and then to the world about himself. So I really didn't need anything beyond that after I published the book.
Wow, good for you. Good for you. So, you know, let me ask you then, from your perspective, going through all this, and, you know, we're coming down to the close of the show here. What's your preference? Like, are you in a relationship with a woman now, man now? I mean, what's your life look like?
No, I'm not. I had a relationship, about 8 month relationship after I got divorced. And since then I've been single. My focus right now is my work. I believe that I came to the planet to help people speak their truth. I also facilitate other people. I work with clients to help them write and publish their books, which is also a form of speaking truth. And that really is my mission right now. So I'm open to the idea.
Hey, well done.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. Good for you. Lynn Everett, everybody, an author, coach, speaker, life coach, and literary producer and author of How Speaking Your Truth Could Save Your Life and How It Saved Mine. Lynn, so tell everybody where they can find out about you, how they can connect with you for, you know, whether that be a session or how to buy your books, my friend.
They can go to my website, www.lynneverard.com. They can send me an email at leverard@lynneverard.com. And one thing I want to mention, I'm putting up a self-test, how to rate yourself on speaking your truth, and that'll be free for people on my website.
That sounds interesting.
Check that out, everybody. Everybody loves a free test. And apparently this one you can never fail, right?
You can't fail it, but you'll get a good idea of where you're at, and then you get to decide what you want to do about it.
There you go. All right, Lynn. Listen, thank you so much for being on the show, and all the best to you, my friend.
Thank you, everybody, tuning. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often. Tell all your friends. And most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
Look up and I see stars out tonight. Look up and I feel things just ain't right. Look up and I hear the people cry. Look up and I wonder why. Don't you want to know what is? Do we really exist? Is life but a flame? A star burning out. And I see things have changed for me. I look up and I feel the ceiling has rearranged. Look up and I hear the dolphins cry. Look up and I just don't know why. Have we lost our way? Will we be here another day?